Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Linda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and I have no idea what the title of my message is today, but we're going to talk about, are you ready for the battlefield? So I guess if I have a title, that's it. All right. I just spent 15 minutes fighting Satan to even get this recorded, so y'all bear with me. He's fighting me tooth and nail. He does not want you to know this information. That's a very strong sign. I want to tell you a funny story. There was a little boy who wanted $100 really bad, and he prayed to God for a whole week to give him $100, but nothing happened. So he decided to write God a letter asking for the $100. When the post office got the letter addressed to God, they forwarded it to the White House. The president was very impressed, touched, and amused, so he instructed his aide to send the boy $5. He thought $5 would be a lot to a little boy. The boy was delighted by the money. So he sat down and wrote a thank you note immediately, which read, "Dear God, thank you very much for sending the money. However, I noticed that for some reason, you had to send it through Washington. And as usual, they kept most of it." Oh, that was so cute. I love that story. Okay, now, we're going to be talking about, this is video 3 of the Fundamentals of Our Christian Faith series, and we're going to call this, Are You Ready for the Battlefield? We're going to talk about battlefields and battles. For you newer Christians, there is an age-old battle between good and evil that's not just in the movies. And it started the day that Satan decided that he wanted to be like God. And that's what got him kicked out of heaven. That's why he's not in heaven being a worship angel anymore. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? He used to be called Lucifer. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Wrong. As a result of Satan not being able to become like God and be seated where the Most High is, he hates everyone and everything that God created. And he constantly attacks both using the demons to carry out his evil plans. I'm telling you new Christians about these battles because I didn't know about them. Okay, when I got saved, when you get saved, it's like Satan paints a bullseye on your back and says, okay, that one. And it's very important that you understand about the battles and what to do about them. And don't be afraid of it because you have far more power than Satan will ever have. Just by the virtue of being saved. I'm going to explain that to you. I once felt the hatred of a demon towards me. God let me feel it for a minute. I wasn't asking for it. It kind of, you know, he just kind of throws down those revelations and you don't see them coming. And I don't have anything that I can compare it to, but it was so intense. And it was pure hatred. You have to remember that there is no good and there is no mercy and there is no love in any of the demons or in Satan. There's none of that. So if you can imagine evil and hate all by itself with nothing else mixed in there, then you can imagine what it was like. It is not pretty. So, for you newer Christians, what this means is Satan hates you, and he's going to constantly look for a way to attack you. He kind of, I don't want to say he has to have a right every time, because I think sometimes he just attacks us because he wants to. But there are things that we can do that either help him or keep him from attacking us, okay? And that's what we're going to talk about. First of all, I want you to understand what the weapons are that we have, okay? And make no mistake about this, this is for all of us. When you fight a battle like this, you are not fighting for yourself. You are fighting for the kingdom of God. You are fighting on behalf of the kingdom of God, okay? I want everybody to understand so we're all on the same page. Remember times in the past when you've heard stories about this big preacher or that big preacher got caught stealing or committing adultery or doing whatever they did? Y'all remember those? Long time ago, especially before you were saved? How did that make you view Christians? In general, How'd that really make you look at him? Because I can remember hearing stuff like that when I was not saved, and I didn't really think all Christians are like that because I knew real Christians, but it definitely makes you raise an eyebrow, like, really? Some people, that ruins their view of all Christians, and that ruins, as a result, their view of our God, okay? So it's very important how we conduct ourselves and what we say yes to and what we say no to. All right, now, that being said, let me put this out here. We have to be completely honest with ourselves, okay? Every single Christian I know, bar none, will at times choose wrong, knowing it's wrong, okay? Every single one of us has done that and probably will do it again sometime in the future. Sin is built into your DNA because of Adam and Eve. Thanks, Eve. And we will have to fight that until Jesus comes back to get us, all right? But every single Christian makes a wrong choice and does it knowingly sometimes. That's just part of living down here. Nobody's perfect. But what counts is that you're doing your best, and if you do fall, you get back up. Or if you, you know, step off that cliff by yourself because you wanted to, get back up, dust yourself off, and go back to, you know, repent, get back in line, okay? So we can understand, can't we, how other people can make wrong choices. If you can't understand, then you have a serious pride problem you really need to talk to the Lord about. Okay, now, let's talk about, and we want to do what's right because the Lord says in His Word, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that's in the book of John, if anybody wants to look it up. I believe it's in the book of John. Okay. Some of the ways and methods Satan uses to attack you. Satan's biggest weapon is being able to stay under your radar. He's attacking you and setting you up when you don't know that he is, okay? That's part of the reason he doesn't want this message out, because it exposes his playbook. You know, a lot of his playbook, not all of it. He has thousands of years experience ahead of us setting traps for mankind, attacking mankind and getting away with it. And we don't have thousands of years of experience in how to resist his temptations and how to defeat him in every area, okay? What we do have is the authority of Christ. All right. Lies. Satan will try to deceive you with lies. The Word of God says he is a liar and the father of lies. He might tell you, you're not really saved. You think you are, but you're not. And when you die, you're going to hell. He might tell you, you're not really delivered. They didn't do it right, or you didn't do it right. He will tell you that you can never give up that sin, you know, that one. Or that your prayers are doing no good. Your family, your spouse, your families, you know, your children are never going to be saved. And he'll tell you, oh, just this one time won't hurt. He will twist scripture and try to convince you that scripture means something it was never meant to mean, okay? He knows the word. He doesn't want you to know it. He will tell you that you will never be good enough. That no one likes you. No one loves you. That you should probably just go ahead and kill yourself because nobody will really care anyway. He's used most of these lies on me, by the way. That God doesn't care about you or he has abandoned you. Okay. Some of the types of battles you will fight. One is believing and standing, to continue believing in him, all right? To continue believing that Jesus is the resurrected Son of God who died on the cross for your sins, and that believing in him is what gets you into heaven. Integrity versus compromise, that's one of the battles probably that you will fight multiple times. Idolatry, will you follow God or follow man? Will you obey God when it means giving up something, someplace, or someone you don't want to give up? The battle for your praise and worship, also idolatry. That's also the idolatry battle. Refining. Ouch. That's, you'll know what I think of the wilderness. I've been there enough times to not want to go back. Faith and wilderness battles, financial battles, emotional battles, physical battles. Three of the areas the Bible says that we will battle in are the pride of life. Satan will tempt you with the pride of life. That's having wealth, prestige, the you know, the big career, the living in the right neighborhood, you know, the kid that goes to Harvard or whatever. Lust of the eyes. that new car, you know, Mercedes, BMW, whatever, Lamborghini, whatever your style is. Lust of the flesh, that's lusting after a person. Or hopefully it's only humans. The enemy attacks in all these areas. There are, I'm sure, more. These are just the ones that I wrote down. So let's talk about some of these. Believing and standing. Standing means to stand your ground, stand on God's word, and not back up when you're standing for something. Because there's a rule. Let me just tell you new Christians this, if I have not before. The word of God, the Bible, is full of all kinds of promises. If God promised somebody else something, you can claim that promise too. With the exception of something like, he told Solomon, King Solomon, I'm going to make you the greatest, the wisest, and the richest king that ever lived. You know, the wisest and richest king that ever lived. He told Solomon that. He's not going to tell you that. Because he's going to keep his word to Solomon. Believing and standing. It is easier to go with the flow of the world and mainstream lukewarmness than it is to be a true Christian and lay down sin and live a holy life. Can I just tell you that? People will persecute you. They will make fun of you. Oh, you're goody two-shoes. I lost count of the number of times I've been called a goody two-shoes. It's a compliment now. And I've lost count of the number of times I've been called a zealot or a fanatic or a Jesus freak. That's a compliment too now, because I know what it actually means now. I'll be a freak for him any day. Sin battles. Will you lay down your sin, or will you make excuses for why you should be allowed to keep it? Will you let Satan twist a scripture to you so that you can hold on to something you don't want to give up, or someone? Will you obey God, or will you follow your flesh? Sin is, in its purest form, idolatry. It is choosing sin over God. It's making sin your God instead of him. Let's talk about integrity versus compromise. Many situations are going to present themselves where you have to make a choice between living as you believe as a Christian or compromising, you know, maybe just a little bit to get someone's approval or keep their approval or to get some benefit that you want. Cheating on your taxes falls under that category, by the way. I've told this story before, but I'll tell it for the newer Christians because I've been getting emails from a lot of you guys that have just started following me, and I'm really happy to hear that. That makes me really, really, it makes me feel like I'm doing something right. Many years ago in the early 2000s, I was in a job during the Silicon Prairie bust. The Silicon Prairie bust was like not the Silicon Valley out in California, but the middle of America. When it went bust, y'all, it went. There was a lot of tech companies in the Dallas area where I lived then. I lived in right on the edge of Dallas then. And I had been without work for a while, and things were getting really desperate, and I was asking God to send me a job. He sent me a job, and it paid. I could scrape by on it. It didn't pay very much, but it paid enough I could scrape by. I could keep the rent paid and not become homeless, and I could, you know, keep my vehicle and all that. The person I worked for was a tyrant and a bully of the worst kind. Didn't bully me so much as other people. But it was very sad to see that in a person who had a great deal of greed in their spirit. But one day, this person laid some papers in front of me and said, I want you to do blah, 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 blah. I said, okay. And sat down and I pulled it up in the system and looked at it. And read, then, you know, looked at it again and said, did, you know, you say this? And they're like, yeah. And it was insurance fraud. Literally insurance fraud. And I thought about that for a minute. I said, Lord, I'm not doing this. I am not doing this. And I knew what I had to do. And I was a little bit afraid to do it, you know, because there were no more jobs. And there were none for overweight middle-aged women like me. So, yeah, there was only two choices, do what God wants you to do or do what that man wants you to do. So, I walked over. I prayed about it for a few minutes at my desk, and I picked it up. I walked over there. I laid him in front of him, and I said, look, I understand that you and I have different beliefs. this person was a different religion. I said, I understand we have different beliefs. I said, but what you're asking me to do, I can't do as a Christian. And I said, I understand that we have different beliefs. I can't do what you're asking me to do. It's against my belief. And he looked at me and he looked very shocked because he knew that I knew the risk I was taking saying that. And I went back and sat down at my desk and I thought, okay, well, you know, if he brings me a pink slip, I'll just pack up my toys and go home, right? And the rest of the day came and went and I didn't get fired. What happened instead, interestingly enough, I'll just take you a step further in that story because I don't think I've ever shared this part, is he developed an actual little bit of respect. As much as that type of person can have respect for another person, a little bit of respect, because I didn't do that. I found out later, after I left his employ, that he had talked virtually every person who worked for him into breaking the law at some point, and then he would hold it over their head. And he used it to work them many, many hours for peanuts. And, you know, always held the thread over their head of that. It was just a sad situation all the way around. My thing was, I sat back down and I thought, you know, I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do what I know I'm supposed to do. I was just praying silently. I said, I'm going to do what I know I'm supposed to do. And if he fires me, I figure you got me this job, you can get me another one. It was a very short time after that when I was offered another job in a better area for a lot more money, working for another tyrant, but it was still, you know, if you're going to have to be in misery when you're in the wilderness, at least get paid for it, right? Alrighty then. So, there was another time when I was on another job further down the line, a much better job for a boss that I really liked. When that boss said, you know, change these numbers for that person's benefit, and I had to refuse. I said, I can't do that. That's not the right thing to do. And he actually complimented me. He actually complimented me for saying it. He said, that's fine. He said, anyway, I won't repeat what he said, but it was good. When you refuse to compromise, it will earn people's respect and it will get you rewards of one kind or another. But either way, God will reward you. Whenever something like that happens, it's generally, I believe, a test where God is testing you if you have the integrity to be promoted. And I am talking to someone. God said this is a timely word for someone. You're being tested to see if you have the integrity to be promoted. If you have the integrity, He will promote you. If you don't, you'll either stay at that level or you'll drop back down lower, depending. Alrighty then. Other types of compromise are those of a more personal nature, where maybe someone's trying to lure you away from your spouse or a significant other. Maybe someone's trying to lure you into an affair, that sort of thing. Each day, we have to choose which God we will serve. And each day, we need to choose that God. We need to choose only Him. Okay? Because He alone will inhabit the throne of our heart or will pay some serious consequences. Okay. Idolatry. Will you follow God or man? All right? Those integrity tests are, in a way, idolatry tests too. Because if you choose to follow man instead of doing what God wants you to do, then you have chosen an idol over God. You've chosen to keep that job, and that job's become your idol. Okay, does that make sense? Or you've chosen that person instead of staying true to your spouse. You've chosen to have an affair, so you've chosen that person, or you've chosen fleshly pleasure, and that is your idol. Okay? Will you obey God if it means that you have to give, let's say that God speaks to you right now and He tells you He wants you to move 1,000 miles away to the coast, the opposite coast, or somewhere you don't really, you know, want to live. And let's say that you're in a relationship with somebody where you live that you really like. You really like them a lot. But He's telling you you have to leave that person and you have to move the other side of the country. I actually know somebody that's happening to you right now. Will you obey God if you have to give up something that you really want to keep? A person, a place, or a thing? Will you? Because before God can promote you very far, you're going to be put through that test. At some point, you're going to be put through that test. If He's got a high calling for you, you're going to go through that test. The Lord says you will. There's one more type of battle that you have to be on guard for, and this is a tough one too. This one comes up, I think, daily. And that's the battle for your praise and your worship. That, in part, is a battle against distraction. I have to fight that one really hard. I don't know about y'all, but there are days when I can't seem to focus for anything. And I have trouble with, you know, I've been taking communion every day. And I have trouble with focusing long enough to do that. Which it does. It only takes a few minutes, so I don't know why. But probably just because Satan don't want me to do it. Okay, Ephesians 6 gives us a list of weapons that we have. I believe there are seven. One is the girdle of truth. Okay, the girdle of truth is basically knowing the truth about God and about who you are and the fact that you're saved, okay? Mainly knowing God and who you are. And that God is the truth, that Jesus is the life, the way, and the truth. The girdle of truth protects you from Satan being able to sell you a lie. He can sell you a lie if you don't know what the truth is, all right? I especially want you new Christians to understand this. The breastplate of righteousness. Okay? You have to know that you are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, because Satan will tell you all day long that you are not. And you have to know that you are. You have to know that you are righteous by virtue of the fact that Jesus was the sacrifice and you believe in Him. Okay? That's what makes you righteous right there. Shoes of peace. Now, whoever out there has revelation on the shoes of peace, I really want to understand that. Send me an email. The only thing that I can figure out about the shoes of peace is maybe that's walking in peace towards everyone else and avoiding strife, because strife is the gateway, it's the doorway to every evil work. If you let strife in your house and there's fighting going on all the time, it'll let in all the other demons, all the other kinds of demons too with it. Shield of faith to quench the fiery darts. You need that shield of faith. In 2009 or 10, I encountered this woman on the internet. She contacted me after some video I posted or something. And she was all, you know, just had nothing but good to say to me. And I thought, oh, this is nice. I have an internet friend. What I thought. And the Lord gave me a word for her and her husband. And so she told me, if you ever get a word for me. And I said, okay. And He gave me a word for her that they apparently prided themselves on knowing the truth and rightly dividing the truth and, you know, all this. And the Lord gave me a word, and I still remember the word because that was such a vivid what happened, was that they were standing, they were in some light, but the rest of them was in shadow, that they had been deceived in some areas. That woman flipped out on me, y'all, like, I mean, you had never seen nothing like, she flipped out on me, wrote me this long, nasty gram about, I don't even remember what all it said, but none of it was good. I do remember that. And I remember feeling the fiery darts go in. Because your spirit's like right here, your spirit, man. And I remember feeling those fiery darts hitting, going, ow, that hurts. You know, and then the Lord spoke to me and He said, pull out the fiery darts. And I was like, okay. So I pulled them out and I said, I remove those fiery darts in Jesus' name. And He said, plead the blood. And so I pled the blood of Jesus over the wounds and it stopped hurting. It didn't hurt anymore. And so I think I just sent her a, you know, some nice email back, like, you know, have a nice life or something. I don't know what I said, but I didn't fight with her because it never does any good to do that. But the shield of faith, to me, the shield of faith is like when the Lord spoke to me to move from Oklahoma to Texas. When I had that meltdown, I think I had one or two meltdowns in that 10 days I was waiting for Him. I was at the motel waiting for Him to tell me where to go. And my son was in another motel room, and I was paying for both the motel rooms and watching the money go down, you know, thinking, we got to get a house. We got to get a house now. We're going to be in trouble. And whenever the devil would try to tell me that I hadn't heard from God, or, you know, he'd send Job's friends to scream in my ears that I missed it that time and all that. And you know, I couldn't see the evidence, but I knew I'd heard from Him. I knew that I had. I didn't tell myself to go on that fast that I was on. I didn't tell myself to, you know, give away 3/4 of what I own and cram the rest of it into a little tiny U-Haul and go to a state where I had no job, no place to live, no nothing. I didn't do any of that. That was Him. the shield of faith was what I raised. I was like, no, I know I heard from him. I had faith that I had heard from him, and I raised it up. God has told me to go there. He told Abram one time to leave his father's house and go, you know, he'd tell him on the way where he's going, and that's what he did with me. He did the same thing. And so I just raised that shield of faith. No, Satan, you're wrong. That was a long fight that 10 days, though, y'all, I'm telling you. Helmet of salvation. You must know you are saved, and you must know why you know you are saved. For you newer Christians, okay? You need to really understand this. The Bible says that if we believe in Jesus and believe that Jesus is the resurrected Son of God, which He is, that He died on the cross for your sins, which He did because back in those days when Jesus was crucified, whenever somebody did a sin, they had to take a certain sin offering, like a certain kind of animal or two of this or three of those, to the priest to be sacrificed to cover their sin because it was the blood of that animal that covered their sin. But for men's sins, there was no animal that was great enough to cover our sin. And there was no sacrifice that was perfect enough to cover our sin. Those animals had to be unblemished. So the Lord had to send, God had to send His Son to die for us because He was the only one that was perfect. And He walked this earth for 33 years without sinning. He had no father on earth. He had a mother on earth. But His Father was the Lord. So, it says the Spirit of God hovered over Mary, and that is how she conceived Jesus. He was the only one that was perfect enough to atone for our sins. So it was Him dying on the cross that made us able to get forgiveness and be able to have a way to go to heaven. Because before, you had to be a priest to even enter into the tabernacle tent, into the area, you know, where all of that was done to cover people's sins. It is by His blood that your sins are washed away and you have a way to heaven, okay? That's what makes you righteous. That is what makes you saved. It is believing that, knowing that in your spirit. And you learn more about it by reading the Bible. Okay. Sword of the Spirit, my favorite weapon, is the Word of God. That is called the Sword of the Spirit. And you can slice and dice the devil with it whenever you want. And that's the truth, okay? And I'll tell y'all a story about the sword. And prayer, the last weapon is prayer. That's my other favorite weapon because you can take down so many of his plans with that one and prevent a lot of his plans. Pray for your family's salvation and prevent everything else he had planned for them that would have happened otherwise. The sword of the Spirit back in May of, what year was that? I forgot. I thought I put it on here, maybe not. May of 2009. I had a vision I'm going to tell you all about. Let me go back before I get off track here. From the day that Adam and Eve walked in the Garden of Eden, Satan has been trying to get our eyes off the Lord and onto things of the world. Whether it was the fruit on the tree, their nakedness, or whatever it was on. He wants your eyes on anything but Jesus. Because he hates Jesus. He hates God. He hates anything to do with God. Okay, now, so we know we're in a war, and you have been drafted into the war. What do you do when you're facing a battle? Well, if I know I'm fixing to be in a fight, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to look and see what kind of weapons I got, okay? If an enemy's coming after me, what weapons do I have? What do I know about my enemy? Can I find out more? What weak areas, what weaknesses do I have in my perimeter? And how can I shore them up? And then I double check every fact about my position to be sure it was as strong as I thought it was. Okay? You need to know you have entered a war. You have a bullseye on your back. All right? This war will rage for as long as we are on earth, y'all. Our weapons are very clear. Our position is very clear, but you need to have knowledge of what that is. And you need to check your boundary for weak areas. Now, in May of 2009, I had a vision. I can't remember if it was a vision or a dream vision. I think it was a regular open vision. And I saw this sword, this big sword. And I saw, it looked like it was cut into jigsaw size, you know, pieces that were all uneven. And on each one of the pieces was a word, like faith and, you know, healing, stuff like that. And I noticed that there was a piece missing. Well, I found out in 2012 that that piece that was missing was healing. When I had that hemorrhagic stroke, I didn't have revelation on healing. So I had to fight that battle. That was a different kind of wilderness than I've been through before. When God takes you into the wilderness, everyone will be different because each one you learn something different. It might still be for faith. Like my early wildernesses were to learn for God, to allow God to provide for me and not try to work and make my own living, because he wanted me to work for him, so he had to teach me how to receive from him. Could he have just let me win the lottery of something or something? Yeah, I guess so, but I wouldn't have had any faith from that. I would have just had a bunch of money. So for those of you who are thinking, well, when he lets me win the lottery, then I'll work for him, he doesn't do it that way. Because everything with God has to have faith, okay? It's impossible to please him without faith. Our commander-in-chief in this war is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. He's our commander. He's the one who gives us our marching orders, and when he says march, we march, okay? Ephesians 6:13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Withstand in that verse means to be able, capable, strong, and powerful. So basically it means be ready for battle. So we are to be ready at all times. Let me just add, he would not have left us armor and weapons if we were not going to need them. And if he did not intend for us to use them. There are a lot of people that say, you know, we don't have to do anything. We don't have to fight anything. I beg to differ on that for a couple of different reasons. One is there would be no reason for him to leave us armor or weapons unless there was a battle we were going to fight in. And number two, you know, it's like Jesus died so we could all be forgiven of sin and be saved and go to heaven, right? Is everybody saved? Why are they not saved? Because they have not done anything to receive what he gave them. They have not appropriated his blood and his sacrifice and received that salvation. Spiritual warfare is the same way. He gave us the weapons. We're in the battle, but we have to stand up and use the weapons to win the battle. It's not just automatically. You know, it's like with curses. You'll know I wrote Loose from Chains of Darkness, the curse-breaking book. It's the same way with curses. Because I asked God, I said, are generational curses still real? Because I see them here, you know, in Deuteronomy or whatever it was. I said, I see them here. Are they still, you know, I know Jesus became a curse for us. He did become a curse for us. That means that we had the authority to break curses. It does not mean they're all broken off. And I promise you, in my life, you could see they weren't all broken off, okay? So there's a battle going on, and you have weapons. Are you ready? Are you ready? Because you've been drafted into this battle, and it is going to intensify rapidly, not too long in the future from now. Rapidly. And it is going to get ugly, y'all. There will be evil loosed on this earth like nothing we ever dreamed or imagined. The Lord told me that there will be. That it will be horrific sights unlike anything that we've ever been prepared for. Do you know how to fight when that time comes? Do you know what to do with your weapons? Do you know what your weapons are? Do you have the faith that those are your weapons? If you don't have the faith, you need to go to the Word of God and get you some faith. I want y'all to ask yourselves all this week, I want y'all to think about this. Are you ready? Because you're in a war already, but there's a battle coming. There's an end time battle coming that the Lord showed me in a vision in 2008 or 9. I made a video about it early in my YouTube days. There's an end time battle coming, and I saw that the first wave, the people in the front just went, they just went down. They just went down. But there were some warriors that were ready, and they looked completely different than those that went down in the front. Anyway, if you want the details, go watch the video, but are you ready? Thanks for watching. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great week.
Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you heard? The 2016 and 2017 messages have been published in book form. Even those who do not profess a belief in God can see something is amiss in the world around us. What is coming for our world in these last days? What does the Lord want us doing while we're waiting for His glorious reappearance? Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night each contain approximately 200 prophetic messages and visions from the throne room of God telling what is coming to America and the world in these end times. The Lord has always warned nations when they were headed for destruction. He has always warned His own people. Are we also being warned? Get your copy of Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night, available now on Amazon.com. Do you know someone who is going through a wilderness season right now? Have you heard about the Wilderness Companion Study Guide? It's a workbook with 41 lessons, including new stories from the wilderness and questions to help you work through your own wilderness experience. Read each lesson, then complete the questions to apply the lesson to your own wilderness experience. Get your copy of the Wilderness Companion Study Guide today and get one for a friend. Available now on Amazon.com. The Wilderness Companion Study Guide by Glenda Lomax. Available on Amazon.com. Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 is a collection of 58 short inspirational readings that will uplift, comfort, and encourage readers from every walk of life. Sidewalk Flowers includes inspirational tales and topics taken from the lives of everyday people who exhibited extraordinary wisdom, kindness, and courage while traveling the sidewalks of life. Get your copy of Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 today, available in print and new audiobook. Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com in print or new audiobook.
There is no one on earth who has not been wronged at some time in their life. Everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has been hurt by someone. The pain you have suffered does not make you special. It is what you do with that pain that sets you apart. Life can make you bitter or it can make you better. You choose. The only difference between the two is the I.